Tua.
Fires, touchdown, Miami. Waddle snuck into the end zone of Miami.
Boy, tight throw, tight window. They had to get that touchdown on that play to get it.
What is up, Dolphins, and welcome to the Drive Time Podcast, part of the Miami Dolphins Podcast Network, covering your team, your Miami Dolphins. How's it going, everybody? I am your host, Travis Wingfield, and I am once again fired up to be back because today's show, we are back on the grass. The Dolphins were on the field for another day of OTAs and practice, and we were there to cover it. We'll hear first from head coach Mike McDaniel and his pre-practice presser, a handful of veteran players, and a report on the practice itself, including some top performers and things that jumped off the practice field. From the Baptist Health Studios inside the Baptist Health Training Complex, this is the Drive Time Podcast.
That's another Miami Dolphins.
Let's go ahead and kick it off as we do on these editions of Drive Time, covering a practice with the head coach, Mike McDaniel. He always has plenty of interesting insight to offer us, and he first kicked it off with a question about new Dolphins linebacker Melvin Ingram and spoke to the fact that he's a veteran player who's been very productive in this league, said the scouting staff, Chris Greer, and himself were all in lockstep on the idea to bring him in and very excited about that opportunity. A guy that's played big games, a guy that can be a valuable resource for an impressionable young team is a great thing, and also he's a playmaker to boot. I want to play the audio for you here on the follow-up question to Coach McDaniel, where he was asked about where does that stuff show up, and he gave us a great insight into what makes players play that high of a level for such a long time in the NFL, and how it's not just an accident, and you don't just show up on Sundays and perform that way. It's a lifestyle. Here's Coach.
I think that shows up, one of the great things about football is that nothing you see on Sundays just comes out of nowhere. This is a very practiced and well-orchestrated game that you don't just all of a sudden have production out of nowhere. It's how you carry yourself on a day-to-day basis, especially people that are able to be productive for several years of time. That is a day in, day out process that, we have coaches and players that have been on teams with him that were able to kind of give us a glimpse of what we'd be getting. And that type of person first is the reason why the player exists.
I was always a big fan of Melvin Ingram's game with the Chargers. Even coming out of college, I thought he was a great prospect and a potential first-round pick for the Dolphins that year. Winds up going to San Diego and has a great career there. And again, like Coach talks about, the type of person first is the reason why that player exists. What a great line, what a great quote, and what a player to use it on, like a guy like Melvin Ingram, where it checks out completely. Next, Coach was asked about the origin of the orange practice jersey. Christian Wilkins wore that thing today. We'll talk about his playlist here in just one second. But here are the origins of the orange practice player of the day jersey we see every day out here at OTAs.
This offseason we're spitballing various things. Coach John Embry brought up the idea of, there was a lot of talk about my DJ skills pre-team meetings. So to kind of put that to bed and say, hey, if you're so great, why don't you show yourself? He floated the idea of having a practice player organically as a staff. We kind of came up with selecting a particular person that would not only be represented as the best player on the field from the practice before, but also take all accountability for DJ selections from the head coach and make sure everyone knows that it's the person with the orange jersey that's making those calls.
Somebody asked me for the Friday podcast, which you guys will hear on Friday, about what playlist I would incorporate if it was up to me. And I was kind of joking about how a playlist that nobody would like. And Christian Wilkins was that guy today. And my follow-up question for Coach McDaniel was, has there been a playlist that has not been well-received? And afterwards, Tyreek Hill was asked about Christian Wilkins' playlist, and he kind of joked about it was not very good. And Christian said, we'll talk in the locker room after this. But it was a lot of variety on that playlist and plenty of good stuff in that list. And I asked Coach McDaniel this morning, has anybody had a playlist that has been not well-received? And I love this answer here because if you want to do something about it, you have the opportunity on the football field.
That was another learning opportunity for the team, because I think the first day Jalen Phillips received some flack, and then just for some particular selections, you know, everyone has an opinion, especially when it comes to things like that. But we talked about it as a team, and since then there's been no grumblings, because the whole point is if you have any comments or critiques over the DJ list, become the DJ.
Yeah, exactly. It's the same thing you talk about when, if you want to get a stop, if you want to stop a team from scoring on defense, then stop them. You have the right to do so. Don't be worried about the situation or what the scoreboard is. Go out there and stop them if you want to stop them. So I thought that was a really cool answer. He also was asked about how it takes the heat off him as a DJ. He said that's an unintended consequence, but just discuss the winners, the multiple winners of the whole process, and how it really benefits a competitive group like the one he has here, and talking about how when one guy within the position group gets it, it not only motivates other guys in the group to go out and get it as well, but just lifts the play of that entire group as they all pursue the orange jersey. Up next, Coach was asked about Tua Tagovailoa and what he's seen from him so far now that he's had some months to work with Tua, get on the practice field, get in the classroom. Here's Coach on his quarterback, who, by the way, was not at practice today with a non-COVID-related illness. He did not practice on Tuesday, but Coach still talked about Tua and the fact that he was awarded the orange practice jersey last week.
He earned it. I think his teammates acknowledge that. You know, what have I seen from him? I've seen a guy that's attacking the moment. A guy that really likes to play football. There's in the process of college evaluations, and you know, you're in the National Football League in a different conference. You hear people describe a quarterback's instinctiveness, and that you don't. It's kind of probably how it hits your ear, hit mine, where that's intriguing, but I didn't quite know what that meant. And now I have a better idea of what that meant. I still don't have a better way to describe it with, besides instinctiveness. But there's a you can tell the players played the position for a long time, and that he thinks about the game of football through the lens of the quarterback position, and so been very excited about his development in terms of the offense and playing and being the starting quarterback for the Miami Dolphins.
I think you see those things on tape quite often. And that's one of the things I talk about in the podcast here, is that a lot of what Tua does really well, in my opinion, are things that are a little bit maybe more intangible or not as obvious as some of the things that pop out in a highlight tape, and he really excels in the instinctiveness and the way he gets off the spot and the accuracy and the ball placement that can go by the wayside when you're just watching a game on a Sunday night and enjoying, you know, the company of your friends, maybe a cold beverage, and you just don't really pick up on the fine intricacies. Those are the areas where I've always thought Tua really excelled. And for Coach to talk about the instinctiveness, you love to hear that. Next, he was asked about what specifically you want to achieve during OTAs. And I was going to read this answer for you guys and kind of give my take on it and my thoughts, but Coach answered it in a way that I just can't replicate. So let's go ahead and go to Coach.
Well, I'm glad you asked. You're first trying to identify a standard with which you play and a standard with which you practice. And then within that's where your camaraderie and that's where your relationships are built. You don't they're blood, sweat, and tears that are earned over hard work. And you're trying to get a team to decide what their standard of play is going to be, and then you want to uphold that standard because it's the way that you just operate and function as a football team. So that identity, it's a tackle sport, but you can, you know, the way we look at it is you can start that identity by the way you practice without tackling.
In 2 weeks in a row now, from my vantage point, the way they practice is with a lot of energy, a lot of hustle, a lot of effort, and something that Tyreek Hill, new Dolphins receiver, has certainly been one of the engines driving that. We'll talk about that here more in just 1 second. Next, a couple of questions that got McDaniel talking about just a couple of, not philosophies, but just some real football. And I love these answers and questions here. First, talking about the significance of being in an offense that had a fullback since he first came into the National Football League back in 2005, working with Kyle Shanahan and Mike Shanahan before that. Let's go ahead and go to Coach talking about the value and significance of the fullback?
I've been fortunate enough since the year 2005 to be in the same structure offense, and this would be my seventh team. And from the starting point, day one installation had a fullback involved. And one of the advantages of a fullback is that you have a backfield player that can give you different numbers on each side of the center depending on the direction he goes. So if you're in just a normal dot formation, you have two eligibles on each side, and then the halfback at home. Well, when you're in the I formation, is it 3x1 or is it 2x2? That's from a starting point. And, you know, it doesn't hurt that a lot of offenses have gone away from that, only because with the historical experience that our staff has had, and myself included, defenses aren't as adept at fitting those types of plays, whether it's runs or passes, and defending against it, which is a competitive advantage when you're able to find a fullback that's, you know, it's just not any ordinary human being, or you must play with a fullback. You have to have an athletic player that is smart and can understand a lot of schemes and can read on the fly. But when that position player plays fast, it can be pretty disruptive to teams that aren't used to going against it.
That answer right there encapsulates why I'm such a big fan of Coach McDaniel. Number one, you have the football knowledge and football savant that is in there that we don't always get a chance to see. The part you always get a chance to see is the personality and just how fun and witty Coach can be. Having those things come together right there, that was a fantastic answer. And Coach was then asked about evaluating the quarterback position in college and the fact that they drafted a guy this year and why it's difficult to have a high hit rate at that position. And he made a joke about it's paramount that you just get good quarterbacks and avoid the bad ones. But then he went into more detail, being serious, talking about how to build around the skills that benefit your quarterback. He talked about, is it beneficial to have a fast-paced, very fast, highly skilled group of eligibles? What kind of situations is the existing coaching staff that he's playing in? What's the scheme like? What's he being coached? There are so many layers, which makes this game beautiful, which makes scouting departments extremely relevant, and it makes it very tough. So he talking about the many, many variables at any position that go into this, and that's why this game that's so esoteric really intrigues so many of us. And I think why this podcast and people like me, you know, have a space in this, a voice in this space, because there are so many football fans out there that want to know the nitty gritty and want to know the intricacies of this game. And Coach did a really good job of kind of explaining that here, talking about the feel for the game, the quarterback position, being able to play under duress, all the congestion in the pocket, traffic around the quarterback. Can he play the position in high duress? Are they tough? Can they anticipate? Those types of things, Coach says, you're looking at the college game and they're playing and try to extrapolate that for an unforeseen future. So great stuff there from Coach. He was then asked about the offensive line and cross training and what the value of having offensive linemen play multiple spots can do for your group as a whole up front.
When you're training a player, specifically one that has had inside flexibility, he's played center in preseason games, and you're trying to train, and you have a multitude of linemen that have position versatility. There's not a greater way to learn the intricacies of the offense than by starting with different alignments and assignments. Namely, the center position, you have to make a bunch of calls. And so you have to really know what everyone's doing. So it doesn't hurt you don't want to ever put a ceiling on and decide before you see them play within your system exactly where you want players to kind of decide that for you. And it's something that an offensive line, you guys have been around the NFL game long enough. There's so many things that can happen, and you're only as good as your versatility within the NFL framework of a season. So if you it only benefits the Miami Dolphins if you're able to play a multitude of positions, and we felt one of those positions for Connor would be center.
And one more for Coach here before our first break, and then we'll get into the practice report. The follow-up there I thought was important to ask him about was the receiver position, because they have so many players on this team, and with Eric Ezukama, with Tyreek Hill, with Cedric Wilson, guys that can play all over the formation, how much do you see that importance at the receiver position for guys that are flexible in those roles? Here's Coach talking about the eligibles, the receivers, in that same frame of mind.
Yeah, we're primarily, first and foremost, we're looking for good football players. And what we've, I know our coaching staff has learned over the course of their careers. I have extensive experience in the fact that the more you know, the more versatility you have, the more that you can isolate and take advantage of matchups in a given week. So I think Chris shares the same view as I have, where there's a degree of allure or attractiveness to football players that can do a multitude of things. That makes them remember they're a cog in a wheel of efficiency is what you're trying to create on both sides of the ball, because it is the ultimate team sport in that you have the most players working in unison at the same time, as well as it's a game of inches, as we know, where the most minute shortcoming of technique or the best execution of technique can be the difference in winning and losing games.
There you go. I mean, you guys can find this in its entirety up on the team YouTube channel. Every time Coach talks, we get smarter. Let's go ahead and take our first break and come back on the other side of the podcast and get to the practice report for Tuesday, May the 24th, out here at the Baptist Health Training Complex. Coming up next on the Drive Time Podcast, your host, Travis Wingfield, brought to you by Auto Nation. Picking it back up here on this edition of the Drive Time Podcast, covering the Tuesday, May 24th OTA practice for your Miami Dolphins. Again, no quarterback Tua Tagovailoa. Coach Mike McDaniel told us before practice that he was going to be out with a non-COVID-related illness. Said he got here today, did not feel well, and was sent home. But we do kick it off with the orange jersey, which, as you know by now, went to Christian Wilkins. Now, I don't know every song that he played, but I recognized a lot of them, more than usual. I guess he opened up with High School Musical, which I didn't hear that, but Tyreek gave him some flack over that. There was Jason Aldean's Dirt Road Anthem, and that brought the air guitar out of number 94. Great to see that. I heard Coldplay, The Killers, Kanye. What else was there? Ja Rule. That was funny. And a whole lot of R&B that I did not know about. But interesting playlist for a football practice, and Christian was very proud of it after the fact. But the first theme of the day for me was watching the same thing I like to watch every day, Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle, and how they play off of one another. Continue to be very intrigued by what we're going to see this September with those two guys, because I think what they can do to stress a defense is just going to open up different things at various levels of the defense. Like, you see the urgency and the necessity of that last line of defense to recognize that they have to get depth when 10 and or 17 are rolling downhill. Because if you don't start getting that, you know, that it's if it's even, he's leaving type of situation, if you don't get on your horse and get going backwards and gain that depth, you might be in some trouble. So you've either got to get back there and vacate the shorter areas, or just, I guess, hope that the Dolphins can't connect on those long throws and take your chances that way, a pick your poison type of situation. And if you can get consistent pockets to throw from, man, that's going to be tough to defend. But I think the way both 10 and 17, Tyreek and Jaylen, operate together, I think it's going to be a big part of what makes this offense challenging. And that's the idea, right? The conflict we talked about. And that's why you make a trade, a big move this offseason, to go get Tyreek Hill and spend your first and second round draft picks and then some. And that's why you spend the number 6 pick in the draft on Jaylen Waddle, because these guys are talented, game-changing type of weapons. And hopefully that can be played out here on Sundays at Hard Rock Stadium and on the road this fall. Quickly before going back into the nuance of their games, Jaylen made yet another extended diving catch, like a Ken Griffey Jr. in center field for the Seattle Mariners back in 1997 type of catch. I swear it happens every single day, at least every time I'm watching. But back to what I've seen out here with evidence to hopefully support my belief in these two guys and what they can do for this Miami offense, the speed to threaten is really amplified, in my opinion, by their ability to suddenly change direction. So You guys remember Ted Ginn a long time ago, right? Like, he was one of the best vertical burners you'd ever seen in college football. And in the NFL, too, that 2015 season he had with the Panthers, caught a bunch of long touchdowns from Cam Newton. But where Hill and Waddle are different is the ability to kind of slam on the brakes and then suddenly change direction in any direction. They're essentially creating two- or three-way goes down the entirety of the stem. What does that mean? Well, when you're on the when you're a perimeter receiver, you often have a one-way go based upon the leverage of the defense, and you have to take your release that way regardless of the route. But when you're in the slot, and that's what we talk about, you know, O.J. McDuffie always says the slot's the hardest position to cover because you have, two-way goes from that position. And that typically applies to your release package because when you come off the line, you have to make a commitment. But because of the speed and suddenness they play with, they can almost extend those two- or three-way goes left, right, up the field, back down the field, I guess a four-way go. They can extend that because of the suddenness and the acceleration they play with. And you can just simply see the attention they command when they open up and go along as the defense is ready to react every single snap to that. And when you add the fact that Waddle's making diving catches over the middle, Tyreek's going up high and snatching a pass that's off of his frame and catching it, coming back down and hitting the acceleration burners right away, it's ultimate conflict, I think. That's what I think I'm seeing out there in my amateur opinion. Tyreek also caught a very nice long touchdown from Teddy on air, where he caught it in stride from 50 yards. And the reason I put this in the notes is because, like, Russell Wilson did this a lot for the Seahawks with Tyler Lockett. Like, just throw it to a spot, and the way he can accelerate and track and go find the football and do it in a way that doesn't tip the DB off to where the ball is, it makes your quarterback more accurate in a sense. And Tyreek Hill features that same trait where the ball's out there and he can hit that other gear to go out there and get it. And I thought we saw it on this particular play. That speed does not slump, man. The way he runs around out there and gets after it, just play after play, down after down, we're going to hear from Tyreek on that here in just 1 second. But it's a lot more than just 10 and 17 out there, guys. Cedric Wilson caught a lot of passes in this practice, and you see his strong hands to snatch that thing, and you also see the strong contact balance that really kind of added up to the stuff we talked about on the Monday show, right? The rack yards, the ability to get deep, the ability to get vertical, catch contested balls. Thought we saw a lot of that to just separate in tight quarters, but also to catch the ball in tight quarters. And speaking of that, Mike Gesicki looks like he's in mid-season form, man. Smooth, no wasted movement or effort, gets into his route, catches the football, and just keeps rolling. It's all one fluid, continuous motion, kind of like my voice on the podcast here. But he really knows how to set up his cuts and just show you one thing, make it all look the exact same, and then break it off at the right moment when maybe you're leaning a certain direction, maybe you're falling off the back of your heels, and he just rips that thing off and gets open that way. And the way that he and Cedric Wilson have the requisite wiggle, but also strength to fight off reroutes and wall off attempts and things that are going to be, you know, competing through traffic, I think was really tangible in this particular practice. I mentioned the quality pockets on some of those deep balls or, you know, downfield shots. I thought we saw those today, though I do think the defense scored more overall wins on the day. And when it comes to O-line versus D-line and shorts and shells, I'm just not really big on diving too deep into the analysis there. But, you know, of all these OTA practices, that's how the entire OTA season should be taken on this podcast, right? Just want to communicate that with you guys, that what I see for you guys is, you know, taken with a grain of salt in a lot of ways, because we all love this content, but you've got to understand what this is and what these practices are intended for to get better and to not really show off your finished product for Sundays that you save for game day. But one thing I really liked was that guys were catching the football on the move. McDaniel talked a lot about the importance of yak, right? Rack yards, run after the catch. And it doesn't just happen on accident. You have to train for it. I think we are getting a good glimpse of that so far in the McDaniel era. And then finishing out the offense, although I'm going to come back to the offense, my notes kind of got me back that way. Savon Ahmed has popped the two practices I've seen so far, hit a big run on the first play of practice, and that speed is very noticeable for number 26. The lane he got through, I saw, was opened up by Larnell Coleman and Liam Eichenberg, so a nice start to the day for the offense. And then Miles also had some one nice run going to the sideline, turning that thing up. But I thought the defense did a really good job against the run in this one consistently throughout the day. On the Myles Gaskin run River Craycraft had a nice block off the edge as well. I did make a note that Rob Hunt looks really good, just the way he moves around the pass sets and kind of going through individual drills. Moving well, looks lean, looks mean, has the short shorts, so you know he means business. Moving over to the defense, and I wanted to cover the Tyreek versus Noah Igbinoghene matchup that occurred so often on Tuesday, and really was the matchup of the day. But before that, just a couple of quick notes on DBs. I thought Trill Williams just looked different in the size and the length that he offers. It pops in those press drills and in the individual drills where he's throwing that inside hand jam, can flip the hips and get back on top of the route. And then I also wrote down D'Angelo Ross getting a lot of love from Sam Madison throughout the course of individual drills, playing his butt off, doing so well in the mirror and press drills. Just wanted to put those notes in there. But now back to the matchup of the day. Call back to last year's training camp. It started off with Tyreek doing Tyreek things. He turned Igbinoghene around on the first one for, you know, 5+ yards of separation, just doing Tyreek things. Balls out early, easy pitch and catch for about 12, 15 or so yards. But then a few plays later, Tyreek takes off and the ball is descending, looking like a potential big completion for number 10. But Igbinoghene saw the play developed, got on his horse, and went stride for stride to eventually knock that thing down deep down the field. Tyreek made his catches, including that high ball he elevated for over the middle of the field in what might have been a 90-yard touchdown catch in a game situation. But Igbinoghene had his reps where he showed what he's made of. And from what I've gotten to know of Noah Igbinoghene is that he's made of tough stuff and a real competitive fire. Thought we saw that on Tuesday. And Tyreek did get deep again working against someone else, but the throw was a little bit long, so he continues to just have an impact and stretch the defense and eventually make plays as well. Okay, I keep promising defense, but Braylon Sanders also got free, and Skylar Thompson dropped it in for a monster gain in the bucket down the field. That was all Sanders did at Ole Miss, got on top of the defense. Back to the defense, Javon Holland snagged a pick towards the end of practice. He was all over the place. The snowman does what he does. Both Wilkins and Sealer had a pressure, and it might have actually been a sack on the play. I was field level, so I couldn't see entirely. But Teddy scrambled and threw, and here comes number 8 from nowhere to make the play. Who's the wrestling guy? From out of nowhere! Javon Holland, that might be his theme music going forward. A couple of plays later, big Raekwon Davis comes clean for a pressure slash would-be sack, and he flexed on it afterwards, so he was fired up. Big day for the guys up front. I think my favorite was Christian Wilkins taking off downfield on a completed pass and punching the ball loose about 20 yards downfield. His effort never stops. And I know I said I wouldn't talk too much offensive line play, defensive line play, but I think the edges held up pretty well from where I sat. I also thought Austin Jackson did a really good job on his work in pass protection. And a few more individual notes. DeAndre Johnson from the U, the rookie, and Benito Jones made it into the notes for their efforts for a couple of plays where they got penetration. I also thought Nick Needham was playing very fast. Just kept seeing number 40 in various parts of the field, locking it down, passing off, communicating, running, hustling. Another day at the office for Nick Needham. And the same with Brandon Jones, just flying all over the field. And lastly, some punter news. Thomas Morstead was hitting punts on air where the snap was from the 40, so he's back at the 18, and landing them at the opposing 10-yard line. I'm not a mathematician, but that's 60 yards from line of scrimmage to the end of the punt. Not too bad, vet, not too bad. Let's take our last break and come back here and hear from Tyreek Hill, Eric Rowe, and Christian Wilkins on the other side of the Drive Time Podcast. Your host, Travis Wingfield, brought to you by AutoNation. All this talk about Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle, I'd be silly to not ask Tyreek about how their games have complemented one another on the field now that they've had a chance to be out there on the grass practicing together for the last several weeks. Here's Tyreek Hill.
I think they complemented each other very well. You know, just having another speed guy on the other side of you, you know, that definitely puts a lot of fear in a lot of D coordinators, you know, mind. So I'm very excited for the year, you know, excited to see what Tua is going to do especially. So, I mean, we're all ready for it.
Wanted to follow up with Tyreek to ask him about if the defense has given him any comments about how tough it is to defend those guys. Here's Tyreek where his answer transitions into a more team type of atmosphere that this team is all hungry for the right reasons and the same reasons. Let's go back to Tyreek right here.
Yeah, man, like it's just all locker room chatter. But like, I mean, for me, you know, I've been in this league a long time, you know. I mean, none of that really means nothing because at the very end of the day, you got to line up and you still got to play ball. So you can be the fastest guy on the field, but it's all about knowing where to be at, you know, especially for the quarterback and for the quarterback's timing. So that's the thing that's real special about this team. I mean, we have a lot of guys who are wanting to be coached, you know, who wants to get better. So like I said, I'm very excited to be a part of this team.
And this part might be the best part of the entire day. Tyreek was asked about the workload at practice where he's running all kinds of routes, getting the conditioning in. Here's Tyreek talking about how much he ran and just the work he put in on the practice field. Great answer here from the Dolphins' new wideout.
That's what I do, man. Like, I mean, when I came here, man, I signed up to work. I didn't sign up, you know, just for the paycheck, man. I also signed up, you know, to be a team leader and also, you know, lead this team and show this team how I do things. And how I do things is I work hard, you know, and I want the guys behind me to follow that, you know. So, I mean, I just can't be a guy in our locker room just saying, hey, you guys should be doing this, doing that. You know, I got to be that guy who's willing to come out on the field and work hard and show these young guys how to get the job done and potentially win the Super Bowl. So that's what I'm here for.
Tyreek then talked about the ball coming off Tua's hand and how it's one of the prettiest balls he's ever caught in his life, talking about how it's very catchable and how accurate Tua is. And then he was asked about his posting of the video of Tua last week and the confidence that he thinks is important for a quarterback and for anyone to play with in football. Here's Tyreek on just that.
I just feel like football is all about confidence, you know, and I'm very confident in my quarterback. You know, so I just feel like, you know, if I'm able to, like, help him get all the confidence in the world and push other guys to push that confidence into him, then the sky's the limit for the guy, you know, because he's a heck of a talent, you know, has crazy arm strength, arm talent, you know. So, like I said, man, we're all excited, you know, just to watch him sling the ball each and every day.
And how about the confidence in Tyreek's game? Very confident player. Here he is talking about why he's confident, why he wants to work the way he wants to work. Let's go back to the Chiefs.
Oh, yeah, I've always been like that. It's something that my grandparents instilled in me. You know, I just feel like without confidence, you really can't do anything, you know, because the mind is going to help you get to where you want to get. You know, I just can't come out here and just feel sorry for myself every day. Just like today, I had a very hard day of just running back and forth. I could have easily just said, you know what, I give up. You know, I mean, I already got what I wanted. You know, but yet still my mindset, my confidence, you know, I just want to get better. I got too much pride in this game. I was telling somebody that the other day, I got too much pride in this game. I want to get better. I want to learn from Coach McDaniels. I want to learn from the OC, and I want to learn from Coach Wes Welker. So I'm just willing to, like, elevate my game even more, dog. That's just the way I think.
Yeah, really good stuff there. Don't think you're going to get a second-rate or second-version effort from Tyreek Hill. He sounds locked in, ready to go, and I think he has a lot that he feels he has to prove down here, even with 6 years and six Pro Bowls to his name already. He wants to keep proving that thing here with the Miami Dolphins. Talked a little bit about the orange jersey, saying, I guess I got to work harder because I haven't gotten one yet. Hopefully I can get it. Also talked a little bit about Melvin Ingram joining the room here and how he was able to come to Kansas City last year and brought another veteran leader into that locker room, how they grew close together, both on the football field and away, hanging out together, and said he's very excited about Melvin Ingram, what he can bring to the team, and the way he approaches his work, his craft. He's only going to help guys get better, like Christian Wilkins, Emmanuel Ogba, talking about the defensive line, how excited he is to watch that D-line play together here. So you get more than just speed and touchdowns and big plays with Tyreek Hill. You get a mindset and a temperament that's going to have an impact on the rest of the receiver room and the rest of the roster, kind of like Coach McDaniel talked about. You know, you see the orange jersey out there, it gets guys playing at a different level. With Tyreek in the building, I think there's the same impact there with just his confidence and his bravado and the way he carries himself. Let's hear next from Christian Wilkins, another guy who carries himself with a lot of confidence, and start here with Christian. And he was asked a little bit about the defense kind of, I guess, cumulatively getting the best of the offense, and he said that it's a lot of fun. It's seeing guys work hard every single day, how competitive it's been, how the offense has had days where they dominated, and how the defense has had their days, and just talked about how many guys have come out here to be a part of this and really, you know, participate in the OTAs and the voluntary portion of the schedule, and that was cool to hear. Talked a little bit about Melvin Ingram and what he can bring to the team with his experience, his performance on the field. And then next, I asked Christian about coming into this year with a lot of the same people on defense in terms of the personnel as well as the coaching staff, and how is there a tangible difference from how you feel at this time of the year compared to last year or the year prior, when there was a little more turnover in the personnel department, but now this year, a lot of the same faces. Here's Christian talking about how comfortable he feels in the defense right now.
Oh, absolutely. And it's not like you don't have it in like a complacent sense. You just have it like on, you know, kind of, you know, you could rebuild, but it doesn't take as long to get to where you, you know, feel like you need to get to. And just like, you know, there's certain things with chemistry, like certain plays, certain times where me and Zach don't even need to communicate. It's just like, we know what we're doing, and it's like, all right, I know you're going to be there. Or E-Rob knows, you know, I have times and plays where I take risks or take chances, and he knows he's got to make me right and things like that. Like, it's just, you know, it's fun to play with, you know, guys and have some continuity.
Also really liked Christian talking about, if you want the orange practice jersey, you got to have to come take it from me, as Tyreek kind of gave him some flack for the playlist that he played out there, but also said that he's very confident in how great his playlist is. Said it's kind of like him all over the place and a little bit of something for everybody. He was also asked about Connor Williams, talking about how he's versatile, can play different positions, a nice piece to add to that room on offense. And he also talked about the addition of Mike McDaniel and how it's been a natural transition for him since day one, how guys came in with the right mindset and began to compete since day one, and how professional they all were in the approach to come in, give him a chance, and how he gave the players a chance to show what they got, and just how natural it's felt since day one. That was really cool to hear from Christian Wilkins. What else we got here? He talked about his improvement last season and how he can get even better this year, making a conscious effort to come in every day and get better at something. And then finally finishing up here with Christian talking about the addition of Tyreek Hill and something I touched on earlier, and not just the impact he has from his own performance, but how he can elevate the games of other players around him on offense and defense.
It's obviously been a really good player in this league for a little while, and you know, just like what we're trying to create is just a competitive environment here. You know, where everyone's just competing against each other, and obviously he's really good at what he does, and he makes the secondary better, he makes the quarterback better, he makes everybody better, and he pushes the guys in that receiver room.
Let's go ahead and finish up here with Eric Rowe, Dolphins safety. I first asked him a question about the growth he's seen, or how he would describe the growth he has seen from Brandon Jones and Javon Holland, and just a quick word of the wise here, there was some tapping on the table that we talked to him at, so that little tapping you're going to hear, if it annoys you, I apologize, but it's the audio I have, so just bear with me here. Great answers from Eric Rowe. A little bit of tapping involved.
It's I remember my rookie year, the vets told me, you know, you need to make that leap from year one to year two. And they both made, well, Javon made a leap early in the season, mid-season. I'm sure there's more stuff he can, you know, learn and get better. And with Brandon, you know, he made that leap from 2020 to last year, even till, you know, right now, both of them are, they're both going up right now.
Also going up and continuing the theme of the podcast here today, I asked Eric about how much stress Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill put on the defense when their speed, those players are on the field. Here's Eric Rowe.
I'm pretty sure if we were to play, you know, the offense, you know, in an actual game, you would definitely identify where's 10, where's 17 at, you know, kind of what's the backfield set. We all know, like, they're deep threats to corners, safeties, to the defense, so... You know, we were playing them, they definitely, like, you have to keep a watch on where they're at.
Last thing here for Eric Rowe, I asked him about fitting the run, a particular part of his game that he said he wanted to work on back when he made the transition to safety in 2019 and going into 2020. So I asked him, where are you at now with that? Does it feel like second nature for you? You've gotten so much better in terms of the stats in that regard at that position. How do you feel now with your fourth year at the position?
Yeah, I mean, I got a lot better at it. I wouldn't say, like, anything's, like, second nature, but... from 2019 till now, it's gotten a lot better. It's slowed down a lot.
All right, that is a wrap. We also heard from Miles Gaskin, Hunter Long, and I believe Thomas Morstead was out there talking to the media. And there might be one or two more, but I'll check back on that for you guys and tweet them out when I see them. Go check out the YouTube channel for your comprehensive look at the media availabilities and all the stuff we do there, the YouTube channel for Dolphins Today, the Fish Tank Podcast, and my sit-downs on Drive Time. That is going to be my time on this edition of the Drive Time Podcast. We have another episode coming your way Friday, the Twitter mailbag. We'll also go ahead and check out, Memorial Day podcast, I should say. Check out our Twitter Spaces show on Wednesday, and we'll be back for practices next week as well. And also, go Heat. That game 4 was rough to watch, but I have confidence in game 5. We'll get back on top of the series. All right, that's going to be my time. You all please be sure to subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts. Leave us a rating. Leave us a review. You can follow me on Twitter at Wingfield NFL. Follow the team at Miami Dolphins. Check out the Fish Tank and the YouTube channel. And last but not least, of course, MiamiDolphins.com. Until next time, fins up. Caroline, daddy's coming home.